All rise. The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning. We are here on case 11-199, Mr. Robert Coleman et al. Versus Portage County Engineer for the appellant, Mr. McLandridge.
Good morning, Your Honors. John McLandridge on behalf of Portage County. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, this case involves the sovereign immunity statute and primarily the definition sections, the distinction between governmental and proprietary functions with respect to sewers. As the court's well aware and the parties don't dispute, the political subdivisions are liable for negligence with respect to the operation of proprietary functions, but not with respect to governmental functions. And this case is of great significance to the townships, cities, and counties around the state of Ohio, given the aging infrastructure and the limited resources that they have. This case concerns the distinction between construction, destruction, and design of sewers, which are governmental functions under the statute, and maintenance, operation, and upkeep, which are proprietary functions under the statute. So the statutory scheme is that political subdivisions are immune when they're designing, constructing, planning sewers, but they're not immune from operation, maintenance, and upkeep. This case involves a county ditch system which was installed some time ago. The plaintiff's homes unfortunately suffered apparently 5 floods according to the complaint over the 27-year period leading up to the litigation. As a result, they brought suit. The complaint alleged a variety of things, some of which were motioned out and affirmed on appeal with respect to design, construction, and planning. But unfortunately, the Court of Appeals sort of then took away that which they gave us under that immunity by holding that the failure to upgrade the capacity of the sewer was a maintenance function and as such not immune behavior. The complaint alleges...
Go ahead. Is there any way to address the appellee's concerns here without constructing a new, bigger, or differently designed ditch or system?
No, I don't believe so.
So we're not talking about a flow that has been impeded because there's blockage that hasn't been cleared or a collapse of a cauldron or, I mean, a culvert or something like that?
That's correct. I mean, the case is here on motion to dismiss, so there hasn't been discovery done with respect to those issues. Certainly, if you ask my client, they'll say that it's been adequately maintained. I know they have a maintenance allegation. We understand that there may need to be some further litigation with respect to the maintenance aspects of the allegations, but with respect to the aspects of the allegations that relate to inadequate capacity, and that really seems to be the primary allegation of the complaint, that there's an adequate capacity to carry the flow that results from
this. That there's an inadequate capacity.
An inadequate capacity, and that inadequate capacity is a failure of maintenance, and that the county has an obligation to increase the capacity, and that it was negligent with respect to a failure to increase capacity. And we come here today in a posture where there's a conflict between the various districts of the state with respect to how this statute is construed. We have Essman and Zimmerman and others on one side. We have Moore and Hafner on the other side, and so that's the stark contrast that brings us here.
Counsel, what caused the property owner's problems is yet to be established because this case went out early, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's impossible for us to have any idea whether it's the flooding, something would have happened if there were no sewers in the area, or whether the sewers contributed to that at this point in terms of the record.
In an ultimately definitive sense, I absolutely agree with you.
All right. And is any of the dispute related to a system that was put in place designed for a certain capacity of homes and businesses, and then additional homes and businesses were connected to the system that was not designed to handle that level of development? Is that part of the dispute?
I really don't think so, in the sense that this is a county ditch system. So the residents in this community petitioned the commissioners to put in the sewer system, and this is just storm sewer, this isn't sanitary. And so they put in some pipes, and there's, you know, ditching up above this system, but they put in some pipes for this little subdivision, if you will. There may be increased runoff upstream from some unknown, unpled events or roadways
but
or what have you.
The county, as a result of the petition, concentrated and accelerated the flow as a result of the petition.
Well, no, it didn't. It didn't do that. It just merely provided a system to collect and channel the water in this subdivision. So, whether this subdivision is receiving additional flow from upstream, again, is an unknown under the facts as pled in the complaint.
But we're going to have to write on this, and I seems to me what concerns me and what would be the most difficult issue, because I agree, if it is just a question of improper design or that kind of thing, there may be immunity under the statute. But if a properly designed system then is overloaded because somebody wasn't paying attention or thought, well, we can squeeze in something more than we designed this for, and then that causes problems for everybody else, that would be different, wouldn't it?
I don't know that it is different, because the problem becomes, well, first off, we have the statutory scheme, so we have to either be one or the other, in the sense that we're either design, construction, deconstruction, or we're maintenance, operation. Well actually,
if, deconstruction wouldn't it be maintenance
side.
And operation if you suddenly plugged in 50 more houses and the system was not designed for that? Wouldn't that be maintenance and operation?
I don't believe so, no. I don't believe so. But excuse me, the great difficulty becomes, and to even take your question one step further, say a system is adequately designed, putting aside inadequate design issues, which we agree I think is immune. Right. But let's say it's adequately designed, and now through the passage of time, whether it's additional homes being added on, if you're talking about a sanitary sewer, or more paving that occurs in the subdivision, if you're talking stormwater, and now you start to have flooding. Well, in a case like this, of course, stormwater. So what we don't know, and which unfortunately is very difficult to know in these cases, can handle a number of these, is how big is the storm? So is it a storm that overtaxed the system, whether new homes were added or not homed, whether there's more impervious surface or not?
But we can't answer that here because we don't have the facts.
Exactly. But frankly, even when the facts are developed, a lot of times those are things that aren't really knowable. But beyond that, the question becomes, when is someone going to say the adequate design crosses that threshold into inadequacy, and is that crossing of the threshold something that now renders it a failure of maintenance as opposed to remaining a design issue.
Is the issue for us, Mr. McLandridge, whether or not this is a governmental or a proprietary function, or is it something that goes beyond that?
Well, it's certainly the question of whether it's a governmental or a proprietary function.
All right. And if that's the case, you told us, I think, at the beginning that 274401G1 says a proprietary function expressly includes the maintenance, destruction, operation, and upkeep of a sewer system.
Correct.
In answer to Justice Pfeiffer's question, then, wouldn't a system that was designed with, for example, a 6-inch pipe that had additional units attached to it, requiring perhaps an 8- or 10-inch pipe, be enveloped under the statutory definition of upkeep of a sewer system?
Well, the reason I don't think it is because how do you get from 6 to 8 or 16, whatever the new size is going to be?
Because if it was designed for the homes to accommodate it with a 6-inch pipe, and you then add 100 homes or 200 homes or a school system or whatever you add, by definition, you'd know it wasn't large enough, and you would have to maintain it and perform the upkeep on it to accommodate what you've added.
I think the way it's been addressed in the courts, and I think the Essaman Court probably addressed it best, which is I think the way to answer the question is, what do you do to remediate the situation? Is it a matter of cleaning the pipe or patching leaks or what have you, or is it a matter of having to design and install a new system? And really, when you're talking about going from the 50 home to the 200 homes scenario, you're talking about designing and laying a new sewer system, which falls under design and reconstruction. I don't really see how, when you have to dig up the pipe and design and engineer a new capacity and lay a new capacity, that that's not design and reconstruction, given the options that exist under the statute. You know, upkeep. If
so, you think changing out one grade of pipe, 6-inch for an 8-inch, is reconstruction as opposed to upkeep? And you want us to make a determination as to whether it's a reconstruction or upkeep, because reconstruction is a governmental function and upkeep is proprietary.
That's correct.
And how are we supposed to make a determination about replacement of a pipe being either upkeep or reconstruction? Where can we look for some guidance on that?
Well, I think primarily where we have to look, obviously, is to the statute itself. We have to look to the statute itself as an initial matter. And the fact of the matter is, how do you know what size of pipe to put in? And particularly if we're talking about the sanitary side, which, of course, is the more dramatic side and has a greater impact on people most of the time anyway.
Don't have a sanitary involved here. This is stormwater, right?
Purely stormwater. This is purely stormwater. But even if you're talking about stormwater, if you're talking about carrying a given amount of flow, let's just say as a result of upstream development, now we find we're taking more flow. The question is, A, at what point in time does that duty attach? But B, even assuming that we decide the duty has attached, now how do we know what size culvert pipe or sewer pipe we need to go to? Well, we have to do the hydraulic calculations. We have to design a system to meet that amount of hydraulic flow. And then we need to dig it up, the old pipe, remove it, and install the new pipe. And under the statutory options that we have, I don't see how that's not reconstruction of the system, because you're going from one system to a new one.
Right now, I think what you're telling us is you're not even sure what causes this. You just know in the past 27 years there's been 5 floods of varying degrees of severity. And further discovery would be required in order to determine the exact reason for this intermittent flooding. Is that correct?
That's fair.
And to say that a new system should be installed, that you need to do some maintenance design or construction in order to remediate it, isn't even on the table at this point.
Well, it is in the sense that when we go back, assuming we go back, which I assume we will, that we have to know what duty we're going to be held to when we do this discovery, and now the discovery is put in front of the court. The court's going to need to know what law to apply to whatever facts develop. Right now, what we have...
Well, if this court says that it is a... What is the replacement of the sewer is a, you know, for design, construction, and improvement, it's a governmental function. Or put it a different way, that maintenance does not require the design and construction of a whole new stormwater sewer system in order to meet the needs of the appellee here. If we decide that that is, you know, the holding of this case, then this is the parameters of maintenance, and the situation here doesn't fall within those parameters, you're not going to do anything, I'm presuming. The engineer at this point is not under an obligation to go further. Is that correct?
Well, plaintiff will still have the opportunity to try and demonstrate that we didn't keep the system operating as it was designed and intended to. If they're able to demonstrate
which would be a maintenance issue.
That would still be a maintenance issue.
Okay.
But this matter.
But to jump right now and say, well, it's going to require us to do a hydraulic study and you know, configure the size of the drainage pipes and everything else is actually premature because you don't know the cause of the problem.
It's premature, but again, we still need to know what law the court is to apply to whatever facts develop, and of course, it's not only this case, but it's a lot of cases like this case that are in the court system that this.
So, in the abstract, what we have to figure out is if you've got a situation such as this, and there's an allegation, you know, based on what the appellee is saying in the 11th District's opinion, lumping a replacement of a stormwater system for whatever reason under the heading of maintenance. And that's the issue.
That's the issue.
Okay.
I'll save my remaining time. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Maddock?
Good morning, Your Honor. Daryl Maddock on behalf of the appellees, Robert and Barbara Coleman.
Mr. Maddock, before you get into your argument, could you address the last point? I thought the trial court had dismissed the entire complaint. I want to talk about where we are procedurally. If we reverse the 11th District, are you able then to go back to court to prove that it's a maintenance issue and
actually,
not a design issue?
The procedural history of this case, Your Honor, in the trial court was that the trial court dismissed my claim for negligent planning, construction, and design with prejudice. The trial court dismissed my claim for negligent maintenance without prejudice, claiming that I had failed to exhaust administrative remedies. Now, when we got to the Court of Appeals upheld the trial court's decision with respect to the dismissal of the negligent design, construction, and planning claim. But the Court of Appeals overturned the trial court with respect to my second count for negligent maintenance for failure to exhaust administrative remedies. They reversed and remanded on that particular count.
So we don't have a record in front of us now based on what the specific facts of your client are. So what would we be writing then? There still is a record to be developed.
It would be very difficult, Your Honor. The problem with this particular case is that the case is undeveloped. The case was dismissed on a 12B6 motion, and at that point we were precluded effectively from engaging in any discovery, hiring a hydraulic engineer or any engineer for that matter to do some fact-finding, review the specifications of the system, have an opportunity to review all public records, and make a determination as to whether or not this is a maintenance issue or a design, planning, or construction issue.
Well, now you weren't precluded from doing all of that, were you? You could do that with or without the lawsuit, but we don't have any of that information in front of us.
That's correct, Your Honor. The record is devoid of any facts at this point that would provide any assistance to this court in making a determination as to exactly what does cause the flooding. We don't know what causes it. We know it's not the cause of 100-year floods. It's happened approximately 5 times over the last 30 years.
Are you telling us that you filed the lawsuit, though, not knowing any of the answers to any of those questions or the possibilities of the
answers? We just had very little limited information as to exactly why the property was flooded. Yes.
So you don't know that the county is responsible for this flooding?
We do not know that.
So you sued them because there's a flood, ipso facto, it must be the county's doing, the engineers?
They're the ones who designed the system, installed the system. The property grew up around the system, and it became clear that the system was inadequate to accommodate the flow of water.
Well, it was inadequate 27 years ago when you had your first flood. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you've had floods, five floods in 27 years of varying degrees of severity.
That's my understanding, yes.
And your clients haven't investigated to see whether there's some cause upstream from them that is, I mean, I can't imagine what would happen every, you know, five times in 27 years that would make this a county problem.
Well, they attempted on numerous occasions to contact the county engineer, to engage in a dialogue with the county engineer to find out exactly why the property flooded episodically as it did. The county engineer, for whatever reason, did not wish to engage in a dialogue with them, and it pushed my clients into a situation where the only real avenue for remedy in this particular case was to bring a suit against the county engineer.
But you've sued the county engineer. And Revised Code 613102 says, when a board of county commissioners finds that the granting of a petition and the construction of an improvement is necessary for disposal, removal of surplus water, for controlled drainage of land, irrigation, et cetera, the board of county commissioners can locate, reconstruct, straighten, deepen, widen, et cetera. Why didn't you sue the county commissioners? They're the ones statutorily charged with finding the responsibility for construction and maintenance of widening or deepening or reconstructing.
The 11th District Court of Appeals, as I understand the decision that was rendered by them in this case, did not require my clients to sue the county commissioners. It would be suing the county engineer.
But there's no responsibility of the engineer to straighten or deepen or widen. It's a responsibility is with the commissioners, isn't it, by statute?
As I understand it, the county commissioner's only obligation is upon the complaint of a landowner, they are to undertake a duty to look into the problem and make a determination as to whether or not the system, they will allocate the necessary funds in order to make modifications to the system.
They're not a party here.
They're not a party here.
Counsel, I have some additional clarification, I guess, on this. In the briefs, the term storm sewer is used, drainage ditch, culvert, and of course, as if they were interchangeable, but of course they're not. And so I'm not quite sure what this is. And, you know, this is apparently not a petition ditch under the petition ditch procedure, which the county commissioners would be involved in. It's the county engineer, but normally storm sewers are under a sanitary engineer. Can you help clarify this? Because I'm really not clear about even the context of this.
The proper phrase should be storm sewer, Your Honor. That would be the appropriate word to use on a consistent basis.
And the storm sewer is made up of ditches and culverts and underground piping?
That's correct.
Okay.
The entire system, yes, Your Honor.
And you're saying that this entire system is inadequate?
That's correct.
But you're not really identifying whether it's the culvert, the size of the storm, the underground pipe, or open ditches.
That's correct, only because we don't know. We just don't know because we haven't had an opportunity to engage in the appropriate fact-finding in order to narrow down those issues.
But under the circumstances under the facts that your clients find themselves in, you believe that the word maintenance encompasses the solution that's necessary here to avert the flooding?
That's correct.
But you don't know what the solution is?
We don't know what the solution is. But the 11th District Court of Appeals, in their decision, have indicated that the failure to upgrade the system is a maintenance issue which...
But you don't even know if it needs to be upgraded. There may be a totally different cause that can be remedied, a remedy identified that has nothing to do with the capacity of the... that if this was eliminated, the capacity would be adequate.
That's true. I'm forced to make that concession, Your Honor, only because I don't know exactly what the cause of the flooding is. We just don't know.
Mr. Maddox, you're confusing me, because when you say the system is inadequate, that seems to imply a design feature, how the system is designed, its capacity. If you were arguing that this was a maintenance issue, wouldn't it be that the system is just not working properly? But it seems that you're talking about capacity and a bigger, the governmental function of either design or redesign or reconstruction, which, as your opposing counsel has stated, is outside the scope of G1D, the proprietary function.
Well, as these systems evolve, Your Honor, and as neighborhoods and subdivisions grow around them, frequently it's going to come to the point where the system is inadequate and cannot handle the water necessary to flow through the system, and periodic maintenance of the system will have to be done on a periodic basis. Adjustments may have to be made to the piping. Perhaps bigger pipes need to be put in.
And you see that as a maintenance and not a design feature?
I see that as a maintenance issue. Yes,
sir. That's actually the narrow issue we are here on. I mean, we have a lot of facts not known. We have a lot of issues not known. The Court of Appeals pretty clearly said design issues are proprietary, but the Court of Appeals did say, and quoting, that the failure to maintain or upgrade the sewer, they clearly say that the failure to upgrade sewers is not a design issue. And that seems to be what we're here on. What is the meaning of upgrade? Is the upgrade actually putting in new piping, which generally you would think of as a design, or is upgrade when the system gets too small, you have to do something to maintain it, which requires some feature of design? So we're here on a very narrow issue of what does upgrade mean. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that, Your Honor. I think you've narrowed the issue to exactly what the kernel is in this particular
case.
And
once we decide what the meaning of that upgrade is, whether that is design or proprietary, then you take whatever law we decide means goes down, and then you work on the rest of your case in light of that ruling.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then statutorily, we're talking about the two separate sections under 01C2L for governmental and then G1D for the proprietary.
That's
correct,
Your Honor.
So it's either planning, design, reconstruction, the upgrade would be, or it would be maintenance, operation, and upkeep, which is in the statute.
That's correct. And it's a spectrum, basically. When you're looking at maintenance or upkeep versus planning, design, or construction, and it's almost like asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin when you're trying to determine exactly what is a maintenance and upkeep issue versus what is a planning, design, or construction issue.
Or reconstruction.
Or reconstruction.
That's the other problem here.
That's correct. Or reconstruction. And it's going to have to be decided on a case-by-case basis with each court after the case is fully developed, all the facts have been evaluated, expert witnesses have been involved, and at that point, then a determination can be more clearly made as to exactly whether or not we're dealing with a proprietary function or a governmental function.
Do you see any of our previous cases being of assistance on these narrow facts? I know that you've cited several in your brief, but as far as the facts of this case and the narrow issue as we've just talked about it, are there any cases that are very specifically helpful?
Well, I think the case that's helpful out of this particular court is the 1949 Dowd versus Cincinnati case, but unfortunately that case was pre the statutory law. I would argue, however, though, that 2744 is essentially codified Dowd and would make that argument to this court.
Counsel, the nature of the flooding for your client's property, was it water that came up through the tile and through the basement drains, or was it water in the yard that got up to the house? What was the nature of
the water, as I understand it, Your Honor? This property is located in Rootstown, Ohio. My client's property is located directly behind a school in the city of Rootstown. The water comes through the piping system, through the school system property, and then when it gets to my client's property, due to the topographical nature of my client's property. It just dumps it out right there.
It comes out of a pipe?
Yes, and it comes up through a grate as well.
Right.
The property actually comes up through a...
So it's the upper riparian owner's water that is coming to them.
That's correct, Your
Honor. Would naturally come to them, but is concentrated now due to the system.
That's correct, Your
to
Honor.
To come, without a system, it would flow downhill all over the place. And it's the pipes, in what, there's a grate or something in their yard that allows it to pop up in their yard?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Are there other property owners adjacent to your client that suffer the same?
In an unusual situation, Your Honor, because my client's property sustains the greatest damage just due to the way that their property is situated next to this school system. Neighbors sustain some flooding as well, but my clients get the full force of it just due to the way that their property is laid out.
There is no outlet from this end point that you're talking about? It just dumps it out onto the ground? And
just comes out of the ground?
Not that there's a ground tile that is too small, that it overflows that? It just ends there entirely?
It ends there entirely, and then it will just actually come up through the outlet, just as though it's a geyser of sorts from the photographs that I've seen.
All right. And you are sure that there's no underground tile that's just too small to carry it away, and it just pops up when it has more water than the underground tile could handle?
That's my understanding, Your Honor, yes.
Have you looked at the engineering designs of this sewer system?
No, we have not.
So basically, you would want us to affirm the Court of Appeals, which would then equate whatever it takes to keep an existing stormwater system functional, whether it be redesigning, reconstruction, replacement, is all under the umbrella of maintenance.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
Okay, so then what is maintenance?
Maintenance, I believe, as the Court of Appeals for the 11th District held, is the proper upgrading of the system to make the system able to accommodate the water.
And is that different than upkeep?
I believe it is. Upkeep is in the statute. The word upgrade is not.
Right.
It's been added by the 11th District Court of Appeals, and it's also been utilized in H. Hafner & Sons versus Cincinnati. But it probably is different than upkeep, but the Court of Appeals have found that the word upgrade is part of maintenance.
Okay.
With that, I have concluded.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Landrich, you have used up all of your time. You may have 30 seconds.
Well, then very briefly, Your Honors, I understand the Court's frustration with this here on motion to dismiss, but sometimes I think motion to dismiss allows the issues to be framed in their stark legal context without being burdened by the particular facts. What we have here is a circumstance where the Court, for this case and for future cases, because, of course, we knew the Moore case was out there when we started litigating this, we have allegations in the complaint of inadequate capacity, and we knew we were going to be faced with this Moore decision. The cities and counties are being faced with a situation where they're in some districts have this case law that says inadequacy of capacity is strictly a maintenance issue, and you have to do whatever you have to do to make sure that you can take whatever flow is out there irrespective of the cause. And what we have is a statute that draws a distinction between design, construction,
counsel,
and maintenance.
It isn't the overall drainage law, and I may could be wrong on this, but I thought it was that the upper riparian owner has the right to have their water flow downhill over the lower riparian owner, but doesn't have the right to concentrate it and accelerate the flow. And it sounds like that's been done here. So this is...
Well, I think this is a little different than riparian law in the sense that any time you install a sewer system, obviously, you are focusing and concentrating, and so it's not really the sort of natural riparian law that we're talking about.
The school property is really the problem.
No, the school property's been there a very long time. It's really not the school property. It's much more complicated than that. And it, frankly, it goes to part of the question that Justice Cupp asked. There is an outlet for this system, and part of the problem with the redesign and reconstruction of the system is the outlet is actually outside the county's jurisdiction in the township and is really too small to take additional flow. If we were to lay additional pipe, there's no outfall that's big enough to take the flow. So what they're talking about is the grate in their yard is part of the drainage system, but of course when it gets over full, it's got to come out somewhere. There at the low point, unfortunately, it comes out there. So we
and
do have
your,
this.
Your client, the engineer, is it, are they correct, chooses just to ignore these people and their problem?
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair characterization of it, but I understand that's the plaintiff's characterization of it. But regardless of that, that leaves us with the legal issue of whether when capacity's got to get increased or is, you know, perceived to need to be increased, whether that's a design and construction issue or whether that falls under this rubric of maintenance such that people can sue for an adequate capacity by simply calling it maintenance
but
or whether it falls under design and construction.
If you get us to say what you want us to say, it's design and construction. It sounds like the engineer's going back and have another hamburger and move on to more pressing problems.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair characterization either. And, of course, this is a county ditch system, and so as I think Justice O'Donnell has pointed out, and as we pointed out by filing this motion with respect to failure to exhaust, there is a system under the law and under the statute to address issues with respect to a county ditch system. The county in this circumstance doesn't own this sewer system. This isn't one that's been dedicated to public use. They're merely a stakeholder. They assess the property owners to install it. They assess the property owners to maintain it. If a new system needs to get installed, the property owners are getting assessed to install that new system. So this is very different than a dedicated sewer, which we tried to bring out at the motion level, but unfortunately the true facts were never pled into the complaint.
Wasn't that an issue, though?
Wasn't
that an issue that the appropriate evidence was not submitted to show that this was an assessed situation as opposed to?
In our view, that was a matter of public record that the court should have taken judicial notice of at the motion to dismiss level. The 11th District saw it differently. That wasn't an issue that we chose to bring up to this court because we wanted to have this very, very narrowly focused on this clear legal issue about capacity and
but
whether
before,
it falls
before,
under.
Before, you know, while you were all in the discussion stages between the property owners and the engineer's office, and it was known that this was an assessed situation, that any improvements would be assessed to the property owners. So the county was not going to have to pay for this, correct? And it could have been a situation where the engineer, the township, and the property owners all got together and agreed what the fix was going to be and who was going to pay for it.
Well, the statutory scheme is a little bit different than that, but plus minus, yes. I mean, there's a scheme where you petition the commissioners, the property owner or owner petitions the commissioners, and there's a statutory scheme as to how that develops, and that's part of why it seems as if the engineer is being a little bit callous, because he's not, because it's not, doesn't start with him. It starts with the commissioners, and then there's a statutory scheme for the development of that investigation, petition, hearings, so forth and so on.
So there's nothing to take this out of the characterization, though, of an assessed system.
It is an assessed system.
Exactly. It will always be an assessed system.
Yes.
So the solution here is going to fall on the property owners no matter what the cost.
It's one of the ironies of the case.
Okay.
But it still leaves us with the stark legal issue to be addressed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Thank you, gentlemen.